soul body, manufactured out of your spiritual essence by your soul, is going to be the manger for your divine birth. And oh, there are so many counterparts of this in the human world, so many imitations of it every day. But the genuine return to source and the birth of the realization of Christ will come only after your soul body has been prepared for you. You must have that manger. And you are preparing the way now for it. We are cooperating with our divinity. From source, our soul is moving now toward the fifth world. And it is outside time. And so for you to step outside time, you must now relax and let your soul take over. For your soul is your way to attain the awareness that I am outside time, not inside. Your second meditation is, my soul is always outside time. My soul is outside time. And so on the day that you awaken in the morning and realize my soul is outside time, you will move through that day living out of your soul, which is outside time, instead of in your mind, which is inside time. That will be the second day's meditation. Try to get the feeling now of rising above mind to soul. This is largely what was meant by keep your conversation in heaven. Every time you've been meditating, inadvertently or knowingly, you've been trying to lift yourself to soul awareness. And that is all part of this great yearning of soul to return for its union with spirit. The entrance to the first heaven should be the normal progression of each individual upon what is called human death. But without the awareness of soul, we must go back to another time track, and another time track, and another time track. And all these time tracks are invisible one to the other. If you could see now, with cosmic vision, you would see your life in one time track, and you see another life of yours in another time track, and still another and another, you would see thousands of your own time tracks, all different lives that you have lived. And you would see the lives of others on similar time tracks. And so these time tracks are invisible to us because they're all at different velocities of time. They're so astronomically different that each is invisible to the other. They're not in the past. In one glorious moment, all of your own time tracks become one. Just as your mind is swallowed up by your soul. To an electrician or an electrical engineer, they would be called time circuits. And there would be circuits within circuits, as there are worlds within worlds. In this world, we have a certain speed of light. There are worlds where the speed of light is double this, but not known to a scientist. And there are worlds where the speed of light is triple this. In the different time circuits, which are not visible or cognizable by those in this time circuit, but are to those who are able to live in their cosmic consciousness. Don't confuse that with soul consciousness. If you never attain cosmic consciousness, you've lost nothing. It's almost like a freak consciousness. Soul consciousness is what we're moving toward. However, it's a helpful consciousness because it clarifies the inner workings of that timepiece. It shows you how the parts synchronize. But when you're in your soul consciousness, you won't have any parts anymore to be concerned about. All of your time tracks are gone. All of your reincarnations are over. You're living in the one eternal, undivided life. My soul is outside time. I find it necessary that I do not go through one day without this awareness. Why? Because you have to become familiar with the feel of your soul. If you don't live in it consistently, you lapse back into mind controls, mental controls, and then, of course, almost automatically into the human sense of life. You lose the life of God as the reality of your being, and you work in the substitute. And so every day you find it wise. Sometimes the pull is so urgent you don't have much choice. You're reading a book and something just closes your eyes and drops the book for you practically, and there you are. You just have to sit, and you know why. Soul is making its demand. Hey, what about me? Forget that reading down there. And you may be doing many other things and feel this great pull. Respond to it if you can, if there's a way. I mean, find a way to respond, because you might have an urgent direction, guidance, or realization from it. Sometimes the deepening is so intense at that moment and not at other times. So we become very, very responsive to these soul urgings which say, come unto me. And you maybe go flying high mentally, but when this comes, let go and relax and find the inner peace. Let the soul bring you the kingdom. That's what it wants to do. The soul is always manufacturing the essence of your divine body so that you have a vehicle to live in the kingdom. I will prepare a table for you in the wilderness. That will be your divine body. Now, you know it's finished. You know it's ready. But are you ready? And that's why it's delayed. And so it appears to us as if the soul were constructing it now. But it's done. It is finished. Your kingdom is finished. Your divine body is finished. Your divine self is finished. All is awaiting. You're dropping the garment of mortality, stepping into the new wine of spirit, in the new wine bottle, the soul body, the essence. And so we have this symbolism of Mary and Judas complaining to Mary, why are you wasting that oil? Well, you know what it's saying. We're being instructed about the oil of spirit, the divine body, the essence of your soul, so that you will know there is such a thing and find confirmation in that knowledge given by Mary. Always there's Judas trying to pull you back into the time universe where there is no oil of the soul. Your third day we did it 4 years ago. You probably understand it better now. All of your life, now we're talking about your real life, all of your life is now. You don't have to wait for tomorrow. There won't be any more of it tomorrow. A million tomorrows won't contain any more of your life than is now. Just as a million tomorrows won't contain any more God life than is now. All of the life of God is now. And let's accept the nowness and the wholeness and the fullness of a divine life that does not depend upon tomorrow. The future is an extinct word in your divine life. The future is all now in your divine life. And when you accept divine life, you're accepting the totality of what would be called a human future. And you're accepting a life far beyond the end of a human life. This is the life you're going to live in when you step out of this mortal sheath. And it's yours now, but only to the extent that you accept the fullness of it. It was always your life. In all of those so-called past incarnating time tracks, you were the divine life that you're coming into understanding now. And so that life then, when you went through thousands of incarnations, that life was there and is your life now. It was always present. It hasn't gone anywhere. You simply lived in a distorted fraction of your own self, which is the nature of time. It presents to us fractions of our own being in distorted form, in a sequence of slow intervals, to the degree of our capacity to move with those intervals. But the quickening takes you out of the time tracks. The quickening lifts you into the soul consciousness, which is outside of time, which has a totally different horizon, a limitless horizon. In your soul, sky does not meet the earth. In your soul, you're gazing upon infinity. And all of it is your life. My life is infinite now. My life is eternal now. I live my life in the eternal nowness of it rather than in a sequence of tomorrows. Not piece by piece, inch by inch, drop by drop. All of my life is now. All of it. That's your third day. It's going to be a fascinating day. A difficult day to be mortal. You won't want to be. You can see that it is approaching the understanding of Christ I Am. Spirit is so gentle with us. Takes us and leads us. That little embryo, in human terms, would be a little older now. He's enjoying the manger. He has more work to be done in his behalf. Maybe he's doing it himself. Maybe that Christ seed is doing its own work, and this is the overflow into the appearance of a mortal world. All my life is now. Consciousness, look for a moment at sickness. Look for a moment at some form of disability. What are you thinking of? Does it belong to you? Is it not a part of the mortality you are leaving behind? Think of that disability. Where is it? It started in the world mind. And it worked upon you because you were living a human life, in a human form, with a human mind. That's why it seems deeply embedded. There are many tables to overturn before you can come out of that human mind and human body and human sense of life. But you can see that disability is not part of your divine self. And so it's the inability of the consciousness to step over which retains the disability, is it not? If the consciousness could step over, it would step out of that consciousness which contains the sense of a disability. And that's how close you are to stepping out of the disability. And I'm happy to report that there's more than one here who has done that. More than one. Who has stepped out of disabilities. And the experience of stepping out of disabilities is the reason we must walk in the wilderness and be tested. Because that's how we learn the powerlessness of evil, the non-reality of it. Every moment in the wilderness is a preparation for survival in the reality of divine life. Begrudge no moments. They all serve a glorious purpose. We don't want them. We don't want the disturbances they cause. But if you could look back after they're gone and see what they have done for you with spiritual eyes, you would know that they were part of a great preparation to lift you into your permanent self. They don't come the same to all of us. They take funny, twisting turns. I believe everyone, no matter how high they are, will find that their testing is going to continue. And if you can catch the idea that the testing, no matter how critical, is making it possible for you to live in eternity, you will bear your burden with a different attitude. And even if you can't find the answer of what this specifically is doing for me, please know it's doing something. For one thing, it's making you reach for your soul, because your soul is the way out. Feel the length and breadth of your life. Go into the four-square life, beyond this world. How far does your life extend? Where would the possible beginning of it be if it had a beginning? Would you go back just beyond the holy days of Jerusalem? Would you go back to worlds beyond this world? Would you go back before Atlantis? How far back can you go to know your life has always been the perfect life that it is, and it has always been infinite? Feel the fullness of it, the scope of it, the glorious extent of it. Think of an airplane that goes up 20,000 feet or 30 or 40. And extend your life up with that plane and beyond, where the plane cannot go. Your life is far beyond any plane that will ever fly, far beyond any missile, far beyond any satellite. Your life goes up and up and up and up. Where does it stop? Nowhere. It is endless, and it is all your life. Can you feel it? Can you go down, 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 deeper than the ocean, and realize it is your life? And that there is no hell down there? There is only your perfect life extending and extending and extending. And not even in a circle, just going on and on and on and on. And all your life, not circling back, just going on. Infinite and eternal. Yes, your life. That's the life of God, isn't it? Go into tomorrow. What are we waiting for tomorrow when your life is now? Every tomorrow is in your life right here. Feel your tomorrows. Enjoy them. Know them. They will serve you well. Your tomorrows will begin living today if you feel them. Realize the existence that every tomorrow is just an imitation of my eternal life, which extends forever. Now, you'll get leverage from that, I assure you. But you must get it so it's way down deep in your being as an experience. I hope that day comes on Sunday for you so you don't have to go to work. It'll be a beautiful day, really. You won't want to go to work on Monday either. When you have done this, to a degree, you're simply in a state of enchantment. Everything stands still. And from it comes that incomprehensible peace, alive with vast expectancy. They go together sometime, the expectancy and the peace. Accepting the life of God, the allness of that life which the Father has bequeathed the Son, and the Son of God has the life of God. And if you have not the life of God, you are not the Son of God. You must practice having the life of God. And so the way you accept the world around you changes, because you now living in the life of God must accept the world from that focus. That which comes into my consciousness from the world, I must transform. Because where the world seemed to be, my life is. And what steps out of the world is not stepping out of the world. My life is there. And therefore, there's nothing there to come into my consciousness except my own life. And I must have this feeling then that I am bathing the universe in my life, and I am bathing in that life. Your fourth day. Let Christ, your true identity, bathe your life with the life of Christ. Instead of you accepting this is my life, submit yourself to your full identity, to Christ. And let Christ bathed my life. That would be your fourth day. Christ is bathing my life with divinity. This is already the fact, and this fourth day is the resting in the realization that Christ is bathing my life with total divinity. That's your fourth day. There should be a merging of your consciousness so that it is swallowed into the Christ consciousness, and you cannot say that a personal self remains. There's just a glorious being there. Your fifth day is a return to an idea previously worked on, but now from a different aspect. The entire world in time is not there. That's your fifth day. The entire world in time is not there. Now you're going to have to walk into it and do the chores of the day, but out of the consciousness that the entire world in time is not there. And so where are you going to be? You're going to make the effort to live outside time while the form warp walks inside time. All of this is feeding that little embryo, which is trying to grow into a full-blown birth. And every time you step into a truth, and practice a truth, you are weaving the essence of your own soul body. You are making possible the flight of your soul to higher and higher heavens. Let's review them. I'm going to find it hard to remember where we started. I am the divine life. In time. My soul lives outside time. To insert a new thought. All reality is now. All reality is now. Now it may be someday that you will walk through the experience of death, finding yourself very much alive, and strangely, not too unfamiliar with who and where you are. And I think you will discover that if you meditate on all reality is now, you will find yourself inhabiting many mansions that are unknown to the human sense of life. You see, nothing can be added to reality, and it's all available to your divine life now. So then, all reality is now means that if I rest in my divine life, even though I won't become mentally conscious of it, my divine life, experiencing all of reality, will store this in the memory of my soul, preparing a table for me when I move through the experience of the end of mortal sense. I will find myself in the stored memories in the soul of the reality that is now. I'd like to include this not as an extra meditation for the 5 days in the wilderness, but as something for you to be aware of. All reality is now. You can stop hoping for something good to pop up. All good exists now. Instead of hoping for it to come into your time experience, go into your soul where it is and rest there. And that's how it pops into your time experience. Go into your soul because all reality is there now. And your soul has access to it. I am not inside time, add to it, and I am not in a time body. I am not inside a time body. And so when you're meditating on I am not inside time, I am the divine life, not inside time, catch yourself if you still think that you're inside this form. Because this is a time form. This is a time body. I am not inside this time body. It's doing its job. It's serving its purpose. So is my automobile. I am not inside this time body. Except to travel through the time world. Now that I'm moving into the eternal universe, the eternal kingdom, I will eventually discard this time body. I won't need it. Make those two additions in your daily meditations, but don't include them as extra meditations for the days in the wilderness, because with today, we completed 4 classes, so we have 20 days in the wilderness completed for our future meditations. And then there'll be 20 more, and I'm sure that the Spirit will surprise us with a few of them. I find it difficult to leave the last meditation all my life is now. And if you do, I'd like you to remain there with me for a while. It's just home, actually, and Wiley home. The final awareness comes that my divine life is one with the Father. And when the Christ says, I and the Father are one, it means that I am the divine life of the Father. For only the divine life of God in you is one with God. And until you can say confidently, I am the divine life of God, your statement that I and the Father are one is but a phrase without substance. We're giving substance to that phrase in our consciousness. I am the life of God, and I am that life which is one with God, so I am one with God. When that is your living consciousness, the fullness of the Godhead will lift you into the actual experience of the third heaven. And from the third, from your Christhood will flow through your spirit, through the second heaven, down to your soul, which is the first heaven, and that divine pipeline will pour the fullness of a necessary realization into what is now a human mind. All from the third heaven, in one simultaneous rhythmic flow, to express in you the divine will and to activate that divine will with divine power. That's the Christ mind. And of course, each measure of the awareness of it that comes to you finally accumulates into the total fusion of all three heavens into one. And the seventh heaven, or the third heaven, which are one and the same, incorporating all that is, becomes your natural home. That will be the divine birth. This is not a plan for the 40 days in the wilderness alone. This is a plan for the rest of your lifespan. And I'm sure that you'll find it is a direct path of light into Christhood realized. So tonight we'll move into an extension of whatever we're doing, and to see some new levels of consciousness lifting all of us into higher awareness of this divine life. We're certainly going to quicken them from this point on. Thank you so much.